I gave my own talk at IATEFL, of course. I got one of the how-to slots, which is at 8:15 in the morning. And I always, you know, approach this thinking, well, you know, if only three people show up, we could always go to a coffee shop and just have a chat. I mean, the dedication of teachers has never ceased to amaze and impress me. I mean, the fact that they will give up so much of their hard-earned leisure time, and they don't get a lot of it, to attending conferences in the first place, I think is a testament to their dedication. And the fact that, you know, 60 or 70 of them will show up at 8:15 on a Sunday morning, you know, to hear someone talking about something is, you know. And people do attend the early sessions, you know, they go to the breakfast sessions, and they're there till, you know, till quite late in the evening, after a full day's programme. It's extraordinary. Anyway, I did get quite a few people to talk, which was very gratifying. And I'm pleased to say that, I mean, already, with what, you know, 3 months down the line, already I've had articles sent in by people who were at my talk on how to get published in ETP. And also articles from several people who came over to the stand to talk to us. We've submitted articles.
So it does work.
It does work. And, you know, a number of them will be in the magazine before the year is out. So that's
this is something that teachers are really quite interested in as well, isn't it? Because, you know, it's a way for them to demonstrate kind of the application they're putting in the classroom, but also if they've got a great idea, a way of sharing it with other people.
And teachers are great sharers. I mean, there are, I think, many industries where, you know, anybody who's got an idea will keep it to themselves. Because it's a way of making money, because you're not allowed to sort of spill your company's secrets to the world, whereas teachers are just up for everybody using their ideas. They're incredibly generous. And you know, even those teachers, you know, who do make money out of publishing their ideas in books, they also will give them away for nothing, which is really nice. And the whole industry sort of depends on, you know, people sharing and, you know.
I suppose that's how it grows.
It's how it grows and how it develops.
Yeah.
Excellent. And it's also how we bring on the next generation of teachers who bring their own fresh ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of the articles that are coming in at the moment are from teachers who are quite new to the profession. Rather charmingly, some people contact me and say, "Well, you know, I'd like to send you an article, but you know, I haven't been teaching for very long, and I know you only accept articles from people who are professionals and who are well known." And this is absolutely not true. We publish articles from absolutely anybody, because I believe anyone can have a good idea. Obviously, people who've been in the profession for a while. Have a lot of experience to share, but somebody who's really quite fresh can have a sudden insight which is just as valid. So I would hope that people would not be put off by the thought that, you know, you have to put in 7 years in the profession before you can write an article. Some of our best articles come from people who are relatively new.
Okay. So if you've got a great idea,
get in touch, absolutely.
So back to IATEFL.
Yeah.
Who else did you see then? Who else, you know, really caught your eye?
One of the other people I went to hear at the conference was Nicholas Northall. I saw his name in the programme. I'd never met him. But I knew that I had an article in my files from him, which had been accepted for publication when we were just waiting for a slot for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, I'll go along and I'll see what he's talking about. And I don't think I'd really even clocked the title of his talk before I went. I was just sort of interested to see a contributor and meet him. Because, of course, you know, most of the contributors I do never meet, unless they happen to come to a conference.
Okay.
Everything's done by email. And sometimes we correspond for years before we actually meet face-to-face. So it's always nice to put a face to a name. So I went to Nicholas's talk. I was a little bit early, and there was a handout, and I was looking at the handout, and could see that he was talking about actually using magazine and journal articles for professional development with his trainees and his colleagues. And I thought, oh, well, that's very very pertinent. And glancing down his handout, I saw that quite a large proportion of the articles that he was going to talk about were ones which were from English teaching professionals, so that was even better. So rather meanly, I didn't identify myself to him until the end. but in fact, he was very nice about the magazine, because of course he does use a lot of articles, and he's got a great system. He reads not just our magazine, but all, it seems like all the magazines that are out there on offer, Modern English Teacher, and the online ones like Humanizing English Teaching and the ELTJ, and he targets articles which he thinks will be of particular use or particular benefit to his colleagues, trainee teachers that he works with, and he sends an email around and says, you know, on my desk or in a bag on the back of the door of the teacher's room, you will find this article by this person from this magazine, and you know, I suggest you read it. And I think the uptake is quite good, because it's been targeted. Somebody has already chosen the article, determined that it's actually, you know, going to be relevant to you. So you know, sort of go through the whole magazine. So I think he's really providing a great service to his teachers for their professional development and for his trainees.
Definitely. I guess for you as well, it must be nice to see kind of someone using articles from magazine practically, and you know,
yes,
aiding.
It's great to see. It's great to see the articles used. It's great to see them valued. You know, I sometimes wonder what happens to things when they come out. And we do get feedback. We do get people who write in an email to say how much they enjoy particular articles, or they may disagree with an article. And I think some of the articles that Nicholas chooses for his teachers are ones which are slightly controversial and which will provoke discussion. I mean, in recent issues we've had a bit of a debate going on the value of extensive reading, particularly the use of graded readers. I mean, we had quite a negative article in the magazine about the use of graded readers and extensive reading, and you know, the whole of the sort of graded reader brigade then piled in to counteract this, and we got a bit of a debate going, which is always nice to see.
Debate's healthy as well.
Absolutely, and you know,
get people to look at.
Yeah, it's a very broad church. Not everybody agrees with everything. It's nice to think that people value the articles that we publish and that they use them and that they come back to them again and again, which is why it's nice that we now are building up an archive on ELT Knowledge, where people actually have access to all the back issues, because you know, some of the articles that we published years ago, you know, they're still very relevant. And it's a shame if they just disappear into a dusty library and never come out again. You know, but it's nice that, you know, people did, and somebody did come up to me at the conference to say that they had every single issue on their shelves, and I kind of got the impression that I was the only person in the world who had a complete archive of ETP, because a number of people do sort of get into contact with me before we had the archive and say, oh, you know, I've heard there's a really good article by so-and-so in issue whatever on page 3, and, you know, I can't get hold of a copy, and can you let me have one? And I'd nip down to the post office and photocopy it and send it off to them. Now, of course, they get it on the archive, which is brilliant. But I mean, bizarrely, when I'm going through the crossword entries for the prize crossword, which is at the end of the magazine, when I'm opening the entries for that, I always feel just sort of slightly hurt when I open an envelope and somebody has actually ripped out the back page and filled in the crossword and sent it in. And I always think that's rather sad, because that's somebody who has not loved and cherished that magazine. They just ripped it out. Which is silly, really. But I kind of think in these days of photocopying, it would be nice if they photocopied it so that they could keep their magazine whole. And it may be that, you know, that on the back of it there was only an advertisement. But even so, I would never rip up a magazine or a book myself. And it's kind of, you know, it's just kind of, it doesn't mean they don't win the competition. They're one of the first 10 out, then you know, they win. But I would think, oh, they ripped up my magazine. It's so sad.